Amen. Good morning. I hope everybody's doing well on a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. He's given us the opportunity to get up, to see, to walk, to talk, and have the opportunity to come together as the family of God. What a blessing. Amen. Hey, look at somebody around and give them a real smile. The one that says, I am glad that you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here. We're glad all God's people are here. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito, who is monitoring along with our online audience. As always, if those are tuning in online, you have any questions, concerns, anything, you can voice those with Dr. Cazito, and he'll respond to you. If he doesn't know the answer, he'll definitely get it for you. So if you're part of the online audience, give John a wave. Yeah, Doc Cazito, just give him a hand wave back there. And it's always good to have him here, the strong, silent type that keeps us all in order. But we are so glad that we have this opportunity to be able to come into the house of the Lord together. As you've noticed, we are going to be observing the Lord's Supper this morning. So I want to encourage you along the way, even today, to examine yourself. Listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Let's not go on autopilot this morning. As we have come into the house of the Lord, let's look at it from a different perspective. Let's just come in saying, Lord, I'm going to forget the cares of the day. Lord, I know there's a lot of things that are going on. Lord, I know my stomach's going to be growling and I'm trying to figure out where we're going to go to lunch. But you know what? Do all that, after the Lord has had a chance to deal with your heart and to speak with you. May we concentrate on His Word. May we concentrate on true worship this morning in every aspect of what we do, through our singing, as we pray, as we open the Word, as we gather around the Lord's table, as we give. All of these things are acts of worship. May they be truly pleasing in the Lord's sight today as we, His people, come together. Let's pray this morning. Father, as we come into Your presence, we're so grateful for the opportunity to be able to do so. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity of the fact that You are hearing my voice right now through Jesus Christ. Lord, what a blessing that is. I think about what it must have been like in the days when getting Your ear was difficult, when there was that veil between the Holy of Holies, and there was a separation between God and man. But Lord, thank You that through Jesus Christ and that sacrifice upon Calvary's cross, we have access to You. Today, Lord, You want access to us. As we come into Your presence, as we worship, as we come around Your Word, and in so many ways, Father, You want to speak to our hearts. We know that You have come, as we've come here, you want to give us a message. May we truly hear it today, that our hearts would be changed, that we would be drawn closer to You, that the lost might be drawn to You. Lord, what a joy we have in being able to come together as Your children and Your people. So, Lord, bless our time. May we focus upon You. May we not get distracted today from the word that the Holy Spirit has for each and every one of us. Now, bless our time together, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Well, thank you. Our first hymn this morning is, or only hymn this morning, is My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Hymn number 412, please stand with me as we sing.
Oh,
give thanks with a grateful heart.
Today to the book of Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2. Last week as we came together, we were actually looking at the church at Ephesus, and we saw what it was that the Lord said to that church. I like to recall it like this in our modern day and age. Imagine what it would be like if Jesus decided to pull a spot inspection today. If he walks in the church and you know, all of a sudden, you know, hopefully everybody recognizes him and they go, oh, that's Jesus there. And then we go over and we greet him and we're like, well, Jesus, we're glad you're here today. You know, we'll give you the finest seat. Where would you like to sit? We'll even move one of our old-time long members that's deeply rooted into their pew. They'll move for you. And what we would do is, would we not try to be impressive? Okay, this is yes. Would we not try to be impressive? See, what we would do is we would try to make sure that he saw the good things. Hey, look at our missions program. Hey, look at this. So look at what we've got going. Lord, let me take you over here and show you a little something that we've got going on there. But here's the thing that we often forget. We want to try to do that, but the Lord already knows. Now, remember what he said to the church at Ephesus, the one we looked at last week. What he said was, hey, listen, man, you guys have a lot of great programming going on. You guys have a ton of stuff that's taking place. This is phenomenal. Look at what you've got going there. And then the conjunction happened. But, however, I have something against you. And remember what it was? He said that they had left their first love. Not lost it, left it. I like to say it like this. They got busy. They got distracted. They got so busy working for the Lord that they weren't worshiping the Lord. There's a difference. Now, some of you have felt that before. Some of you have been spread so thin before working for the Lord that it almost made you a little bit bitter.
Might have made you a lot bitter. Confound it, we can't get nobody to work with these kids. I'm here everywhere. You been there? When do I get a chance to go to worship service? What? Listen, folks, if Satan can do that, he will make you and keep you busy. Where is the joy? So now today we're going to look at a different church. We saw what he said to Ephesus. He said, look, you need to go back. You need to repent. You need to do the first things. You need to fall in love all over again for the right reason. But today we're going to look at another church that he's visited. Remember what we said, the seven churches that are listed in the early part. Another church that he visited is the one we're going to look at today out of Revelation chapter 2. If you've got your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to pick up the scripture in verse 18. Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 18. It says, and to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works. Love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Verse 22, indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the mind and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now, to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast to what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, we are nothing and no one without you. And Father, unless the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, we can't even understand. Now, Father, today we know that you have shown up here to speak into our hearts and to speak into our lives. Lord, may we have our hearts prepared. Lord, may we truly be in a worshipful mode that we might hear you loudly and clearly this morning as you speak to each and every one of us. Lord, may our hearts be changed. May we be drawn closer to you. May each and everything that is said and done magnify you. Lord, may today be so different than any other day because we've been in your presence. Now, Father, I can't do anything in and of myself. I am simply your messenger, and the words that come forth from this pulpit today need to be your words and not mine. Father, I pray that you will clean and use this vessel for your honor and for your glory, as we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we look at this particular church, as you see it, it's called the church at Thyatira. It reminded me so much of a Greek word. Now, my Greek is 30 plus years old, so if I butcher this, you all forgive me, but there's a word called hypocrites, okay? Now, what does that sound like? Exactly. Guess what? Lesson one Greek. You got it. That is the definition. Now, we all know what a hypocrite is, don't we? A hypocrite, for those of you who may not, is somebody who will say one thing and do something that is completely different. There is hypocrisy all around us, isn't it? All you have to do is pick up a newspaper, watch the news, go to work, walk through the neighborhood. There's hypocrisy everywhere. How many of you say, I see it, I know it, I experience on a daily basis, okay? Some of you in here are actually living a life because you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. The hypocrisy is staggering. How many times have you had somebody say to you, I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity, or I don't want to have anything to do with that church because it's full of hypocrites? Now, is that a good excuse? No. Because usually what I'll say is, well, where do you shop? Where do you get your groceries? Well, I get my groceries up here at Lowe's. Well, it's full of hypocrites too. You know, where do you go buy your home goods? Well, I go down to Walmart. Well, there's a lot of hypocrites in Walmart too. See, what's happening, folks, is Satan allows any excuse to keep people away from his word, his work, his will, or anything else. Now, I will also go on to say to you that we haven't done a very good job at being good examples of the children of the Lord in our world today as a whole. Because you know what? People really do that. I've said this so many times that it's ridiculous. Even lost people know how saved people should live their life. And they'll point it out to you. Man, I thought you were a Christian. How many of y'all have ever heard that? Don't raise your hand. Somebody has said to you, well, I thought you were a Christian. A Christian wouldn't do that. And you know what the tragedy is? They were right. That wasn't a Christian attitude. That wasn't a Christian thing to do. When you waved at the driver that was beside you minus four fingers with a bumper sticker that says, follow me to Sunday school. Or your fish emblem. You know, if we were really living what we believed, I'd think that was a stolen vehicle. There was a joke about that one time. Said, police officer stopped a vehicle and checked the registration and everything out because this person was just laying on the horn and shaking his fist at another guy. And finally, he said to the police officer, he said, well, why did you stop me? And the police officer said, well, at first I thought this was a stolen car because he said, I saw your follow me to Sunday school sticker and your Jesus fish on the back of it and everything. And I thought a Christian certainly wouldn't act that way. So somebody must have stolen this vehicle. You know, it's funny, but it's not funny, right? Now, see, what's happened is he goes to the church at Thyatira, and I'm sure that what was going on was that there were people who were saying, I don't want to set foot in that church because of the hypocrites in there. And he goes on, and he even begins to say why. Remember, he calls a name. He says this. He says, I have something against you. And what did he say? As a matter of fact, he starts praising them like he did before verse 19. He said, I know your works, your love, your service, all the programs you've got, your faith, your patience. And he said, man, you guys have got that going on. Then verse 20, he goes on and says what he has against them. He says, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Here is what's going on. Let me give it to you in a nutshell. The church was tolerating sin and doing it from a perspective of somebody who was supposedly a prophetess, because it says it right there. And he's saying, look, you people know better than that. How many times has something come into the church and people going, well, you know, that's not biblical. That's not right. Those things shouldn't be happening. Okay, well, listen, there comes a point and a time, particularly in a church, where action needs to be taken. I am so sick and tired of hearing the word tolerance in 2022. It's a one-way street. Well, you need to be tolerant. Listen, I'm going to point out this fact and make sure you get this. Jesus never, never, ever, ever, ever tolerated sin, period. He didn't tolerate it. Remember when he was talking to the woman? Now listen, he was gracious and loving and kind. And I love what he said. He baited her down the road. Remember what he said to her? He said, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have one. Remember what he said? You are absolutely right. You have five, and the one that you're with now is not your husband. Jesus is not giving anybody a pass on sin. A lost and dying world is not going to give a church a pass on sin when the church tolerates it. Now, I want to make sure that we understand something really specific today. The church is God's people. It's not the brick, the sheetrock, the chandeliers, the organ, the piano, the podium. You know what? This place, this property, doesn't do a single thing wrong on Monday and Tuesday or Thursday and Friday. It doesn't say bad things to people. It doesn't cause people to do anything. You see, folks, the church are the people of God who make it up. That's what the church is. And there's only one, according to the Bible. The body of believers are the church. That's what it is. So what's happening is the church makes some mistakes. I'm talking about the people. Now, the building might have some issues, but it's not sinning, okay? It's the people that make it up. And what he's pointing out is this. He said, guys, you are doing great. Your programming's good. Your missions are good. All these things are good. But the problem is you are tolerating Jezebel teaching these false things and leading people astray. And you are tolerating it. You know better. You know this is not right. But what you say is, well, we just don't want to offend anybody. Yeah, I saw a Family Circus cartoon lately that was funny, but it was so telling it was almost scary. Because remember, the dad went to the little one and it says, what's the magic word when you want something? And the little kid says, I'm offended. Is that not society today? I'm offended. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. When I grew up, you tried out for a ball team, and if you didn't make it, good luck next year. Everybody didn't get a trophy. It made you work hard to earn the trophy, and it meant so much more. Well, we got to find a place for everybody. According to God's word, you do not find a place for sin, and a church that does that will incur the wrath of Almighty God. Particularly when you know that's taking place, when you know that's going on. And this is what he's telling the church at Thyatira. He's saying, you are putting up with this. This didn't blindside you. You knew what was going on, and yet you allowed it. Because let's just let bygones be bygones. Let's not offend anybody. Folks, let me tell you, a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church is thin in numbers these days. You know why? Because the gospel offends the sinner. And we're teaching a whole generation that everybody needs to bow in to our, if you have offended me, it's your fault. And I'm going to cancel you out and I'm going to cut you off rather than to evaluate my life. It's almost sickening what is happening in society. Society is trying to go completely away from anything that resembles a rule, a law, any sort of edict that's put out there. And the reason why is because if there are no absolutes, then everybody's right. But I want to promise you something today. There are absolutes. Right here. These are the absolutes. That's why the world hates the Bible. That's why the world hates God. That's why the world hates you. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. I have the right, and you have to tolerate me. Now, I gotta be careful here because I want us to understand something. This seems to have been lost among good, strong Christian people today, because the Lord told us that you do love the person who is the sinner. You love everybody, but you detest the sin. That's true. You know what? There's a lot of people that I know that I've talked with before that have willfully sinned. They know they are. Everybody knows they are. I've talked to them about it. I haven't swayed them away from their sin. They haven't swayed me away from my Christianity. But we've been able to go out and have coffee afterwards. You know why? Because they knew I loved them. They knew that the reason why I was telling them this was because thus saith the Lord. And I kept saying, you and I are both believers, according to what you tell me. So if you're a believer, this is our standard, and this right here says what you're doing is wrong. We will stand on the Word of God. But you know what? When you do, you ain't popular. Sorry, Anita, I know she's a teacher. She might have cringed. You are not popular. And that's the reason why you don't see mega churches necessarily of good Bible. And I'm not trying to put everybody in that class. There are some good ones out there. But you see, today's society doesn't want to be where they're offended. You see, the church at Thyatira didn't want to offend Jezebel because she probably had a good ladies' ministry. And people loved her, and people followed her. And you know what? I just don't want to go up and say anything because she'll get mad at me, and a lot of people really like and respect her. Well, folks, let me make you this promise as well. Where sin thrives, the sinner loves to be. Who's going to go tell Jezebel that what she's doing is wrong? I'm not going to tell her. You tell her. Hey, man, I'm not going to tell her. She's too popular. My wife loves her. She'll be mad at me forever, and I have to live with my wife. How about you tell her? No, I'm not going to tell her. You tell her. Nobody was telling her, and she was going on, and she was essentially teaching these heresies within the church, and the church knew it, and the church was tolerating it. There's another passage that talks about sin in the camp. Remember that? Remember? The Lord said you go and you utterly destroy a city. You leave everything. You don't plunder it. You don't take anything. And remember, there was a fella in the Bible who said, there's some silver and there's a nice robe. Man, I can't just leave that here. So he kind of tucked it away and went and buried it in his tent. And then remember what happened after Jericho? They're like, oh man, we walked all over Jericho because God was with them. Remember that? And then they're like, AI, little AI, it's just a little thing. It's not, we don't even have to take our full army. We'll just go in there and whip them easy. And they wound up getting their tail handed to them, didn't they? They wound up losing some men, and they couldn't figure out what was going on until God told them. There has been a violation of what I commanded you. Now, here's something else you've got to understand. Nobody else knew about it except the perpetrator. Now, I want to ask you this along the way. Do you think that the sin of one person can hinder the Holy Spirit to the whole? The answer to that is absolutely yes. You have to ask yourself today, as you have walked in the door, am I hindering the Holy Spirit from speaking to the people of Central Baptist Church today because of sin that I am harboring in my life? Am I creating havoc and mayhem? Remember, nobody knew what was going on. They couldn't figure it out. They went to God and they said, somebody sinned. We got to get it figured out. Remember, they were casting lots. They were interviewing people trying to figure it out. And finally, they got to the meat of the problem. Yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I took some things. Well, explain that to the soldiers who didn't get to come home. Explain that to the families of that soldier that didn't make it home because of your sin. All of a sudden, it takes a different light, doesn't it? All of a sudden, you realize you're not an island to yourself. You're not a spiritual island to yourself. And God has created us to do this thing called life together as believers, to love and to support and to fellowship. And by the way, you can't do that sitting in the recliner with your coffee and bacon and eggs on Sunday morning. You need to be with the people of God. Are we perfect? No. Do we have... Listen, we are all a bunch of just weird people. I mean, that's the only way to say it. I'm weird, you're weird, all God's children are weird. But He has brought all of our weirdness together to make a difference for the kingdom. And that's what I love about it. But you know what? We have to be able to understand one another. And we can do that as long as our mission is correct. To reach people with the gospel and disciple them. I love what Awana says. You know, to win those to Christ and train them to serve him. People don't want that anymore. Preacher, boy, your time's ticking today, Roy. There's a lot going on. I got places to go, things to do, people to see. This is the Lord's hour. No, it's not. It's the Lord's day. I'm telling you, man, people think something's wrong with me when I'm in Cuba and I only preach for 45 minutes to an hour. They think something's wrong. They're like, hey, man, give me what I came for. I took all day to get to church. I rode buses packed with people. I walked. I rode pack animals to get here. I've come here to worship today, and I ain't leaving after an hour. So if you got another one in the stash, big boy, pull it out, because you're going to preach for longer than what you're preaching. And here, isn't that what we do? What's our heart? Listen, when you get in the presence of God for real, you lose track of time. Because you are in his presence. And he's telling the church at Thyatira, your programs look good. There's a lot of good stuff going on, but there's a problem. Jezebel is a problem, and Jezebel is hindering your church. Jezebel has caused the grade of your church to go from an A plus down to maybe a D. And D is not dandy. D is the grade that I got in deportment my whole life. How many of y'all ever had a grade called deportment? Do y'all remember that, or was that just a West Virginia hillbilly thing? Nobody else. Dave, right? You didn't have that? Well, I'll tell you what that is. Deportment, the new word for deportment is behavior. That was my behavior grade. I never could get out of the D range. And you know why? You know what my teacher said? I know this is going to surprise you. He talks too much. He's always bothering the people that were around him. You know, I was always told my mouth was going to get me in trouble. Anybody else? Your mouth's going to get you in trouble. You know, here's the tragedy of it. All my life, up until probably 10 years ago, I always thought that my mouth was my biggest weakness. And here's why I thought that. See, I took a strengths inventory through Gallup University, and my number one turned out to be this thing called WOO, which was winning others over, and that was talking about me talking to people and using my mouth, and it didn't click. My number one thing, and I told the guy, the coach, the same thing I told you guys, and he said, the problem was you never had anybody in your life that understood that was your greatest strength, and instead they propagated it in your life as your greatest weakness. He said, what your teacher should have done was put you with the new kid. Because you were going to introduce him around to everybody. You were going to show him around. You were going to talk to him. And he said, because of that, they looked at your greatest strength as the greatest weakness. What is your greatest strength? Often somebody may be telling you it's your greatest weakness. God uses a bunch of weird people to accomplish great and mighty things. And here's the thing. We might not understand it, but we're on the same team. Thyatira. Do not allow one single thing, including this woman, to come in and give you a bad reputation, to do things that are immoral, to do things that are not biblical. You know this. And yet, you've taken no action. We are in a society that is scared to make a decision. Nobody. You don't think so? You're going to find out in just a few minutes. Because some of y'all are going out to eat, probably most of you. And you've probably got somebody with you, and you're going to ask a question. Where are we going to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't care. Where do you want to go? I'll ask to be nice. Where do y'all want to go? Because if I pick, you're probably not going to like it. I don't know. What do you think? Well, I don't want to go there. Well, we'll go up and get some sardines and some crackers, and we'll have a seafood platter. Decisions are all over the place, and we don't want to make them. And we do that because, listen, we don't want to go around purposefully offending people, but some people need to be offended for the sake of the gospel. And the reason why is because what is being hurt is the church overall. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about the sheetrock. I'm not talking about the bricks. I am talking about the body of Christ, period. He said, you got a lot of great things going on here at First Baptist Thyatira, but you got a problem. And you know you got a problem. And yet you failed to fix it. Yet you failed to stand up for what was true and right. And you cozied up to it. And I will promise you that where that happens, the Spirit of the Lord will not thrive. All of a sudden, you find yourself in a situation getting whipped by little AI. What happened? I don't know. I like this old... This guy used to do disaster recovery work, and I mean, this guy was in his 80s back then, and he had thin skin. Some of y'all that are there know what I'm talking about. You can bump into something, and all of a sudden, you're bleeding. Well, it was, JW was that way, and of course, the director was there. We were moving lumber and supplies in, and all of a sudden, the director looked around. He goes, "Everybody stop." He goes, "I see blood. JW, check yourself." That's what he said. And sure enough, JW's elbow's just bleeding like crazy. You know, he just bumped into something. He didn't even know it. Check yourself. By the way, here's one of the things in just a minute that as we go around the Lord's table, he told us, check yourself. Now, he didn't say it in that verbiage. Here's what he said. But let a man examine himself, that he eats and drinks of the bread in a worthy manner. Better check yourself. See, that's a personal thing between you and the Lord, but I am going to make you a promise that if you don't have it right, you can hinder all the rest of us. Everybody needs to check yourself. He says, I have a few things against you. You've allowed that woman Jezebel, I like this too. It says, who calls herself a prophetess. How many times have you used that? Think about that language for a minute. If somebody came up and says, talking about old Roy, he calls himself a preacher. That's a little on the sarcastic side. That's saying he's not. It says, she calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Sexual immorality is plain and clear in the Word of God, is it not? It's a thou shalt not. There's not even any gray area in this one. I always love it as a preacher. Rodney knows too. People always come to you and say, well, brother, does the Bible say you can't do whatever? Well, see, what they're looking for is they're looking for us to say, well, it's not right there in a plain black and white verse, but there is a precept that says you should not do this. Because most people say, if the Bible doesn't say don't, then that means it says do. It's all right for me to do it if the Bible doesn't have thou shalt not before it. You know what I like to say? What's the Holy Spirit telling you? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that interprets the word. And usually I will be brazen enough to say the reason you're asking me this is because you want to be able to do it with a clear conscience and you know already that you shouldn't because we're here having this conversation. And then you know what their response usually is? That's about it. Do they generally go on and do what they want to do? Most of the time. Because they've already made their mind up. They're just looking for the preacher or some other Christian to say, it's okay. So what they can do is say, well, Rodney said it was okay. David said it was okay. Yeah, Brad said it was all right. How many times have you run across that? You go and say, well, look, you shouldn't be doing that as a Christian. Well, Preacher Roy does. See, here's our problem. We compare ourselves this way to other people instead of this way. And we don't stack up this way, do we? Last time I checked, the Bible says, even our righteousness is as filthy rags. Ouch. Step on them toes. Thyatira, you have allowed this Jezebel, you have allowed this sin to happen and to continue, and I have something against you. You should not do that. And what does he go on and says? He says in verse 21, I gave her time to repent. In other words, I've told her what's going on. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not. Indeed, I will cast her, verse 22, into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Folks, we have been warned. God is saying, how many of y'all either grew up or were the parent that used the three count? You know, your kids doing something bad that they knew, and you were like, one, two. And if you got to three, bad things happen. Y'all, how many of y'all remember that? All right? Board of education, seat of learning deal. You know what God's doing? God's gone, one, two. And with Jezebel, he hit three. And he says, then this is what I'm going to do. There's going to be an attention getter. And when God gets your attention, sometimes it's for a lifetime. Some of you know. Some of us have received God's grace and been given a second chance. And some of us have experienced God's wrath and lost horribly. He says, I gave her a chance. Look at verse 23, man. I will kill her children unto death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one according to your works. You know what God said? God said, I'm getting ready to put an explanation point on this. This is not going to happen in my church. Now you choose you this day whom you will serve, because I'm getting ready to come down on them. You pick your side. He said, if you repent, you're forgiven. But if you don't, trouble's coming. One. Two. Don't make me get to three. See, Awana is a little different. Awana gives you to five. I only had to three growing up. That was it. I will give to each one of you, latter part of verse 23, according to your works. And now I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. He's saying that way, that wasn't everybody. Not everybody in the church was that way. But here he's sitting back saying, I'm not going to put that burden on you, but I will promise you this, the burden that would be put on the church as a whole was going to be cast upon those who even were not a part of it. You know what? As a Christian, we ought to be saying, look, don't grab me and drag me down the sin trail with you. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be reaching out to the one that is doing the wrong. We should be reaching out to those that are hurting. We should be reaching out to those that are sinners and pulling them back. Is that not what the Bible tells us to do? And I've always loved this one. Well, my spiritual life is none of your business. You're wrong. If you are my brother or if you are my sister, your spiritual life is my business. Not just from the perspective of your pastor, from the perspective of your brother or your sister. It's like those people who sit back and say, well, I'm going to go do this to myself and I'm not hurting anybody else but me. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, think about the wife that you're hurting in the middle of this. Think about the children that you're hurting in the middle of this. We've heard of the selfishness of suicide. And people say, well, the only person I'm hurting is me. Tell that to the grieving widow for the rest of her life. For the children who are left behind that are going to be scarred forever because of what happened. You do not live on an island to yourself. And God says, we're along this journey with each other. And sometimes we have to get downright, hey, because I love you, I'm not willing to let you go down that road. You can't make changes for people, but you can surely stand in the gap for them. And it's time that we loved each other like families should love each other. I'm talking about the church worldwide. To love each other as we should. To love each other enough to care and not say, well, it's just none of my business. It is your business. He said, I'm going to give you all a reprieve there in Thyatira who are not in keeping with this doctrine. He said, but he said, for those of you who aren't, verse 20, 25 says, but hold fast what you have till I come. It's going to be a struggle. Hold on tight. Don't get sucked in. And I love what verse 26 says, and he who overcomes and keeps my work unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Don't quit. Don't give up. It's real easy to look around this world today and say, we ain't even making a dent. But I'm not responsible for making the dent. I'm responsible for doing my part. That's what I'm responsible for. Well, I had a hard time with that, you know, in ministry for a long time. Till I finally realized my job is to feed the flock. Whether you eat, it's up to you. And I've said this, and I'll say it as long as God gives me breath in ministry, because the picture that put in my mind that drove this home, what David was teaching a Bible study one night, and he said, you'll see a shepherd that has a little lamb in his arms, and he might have that little bottle, and he's bottle feeding that little lamb. But he said, but you know, you never see a shepherd out there with a 600-pound sheep on his lap shoving grass down its throat. There comes a point and a time where you have to learn to feed yourself. On a daily basis, I will promise you that most of you, no, all of you in here and all of you watching have eaten since last Sunday. Listen, if we had a spiritual diet the same way that we had a physical diet, would our spiritual life be different? We are starving spiritually as a nation. So what does he say to them? He says, you guys have got a lot of really cool stuff going on, but it's not about the cool stuff you got going on. I really don't care about what your building looks like. I really don't care about all the programs that are taking place. What I care about is what's in here. Notice what he said there. He says, I am looking at the heart. And you can fool me. You can fool the staff, you can fool everybody, but let me make you a promise that you will never fool Jesus Christ, period. He walked in the doors of your heart. He walked in the doors of our church today, and he says, inspection time. And what we try to do is say, hey, Lord, look what we got. Didn't the choir sound good today? Donna and Vicky and Brad, they played great today. Didn't we have eloquent prayer? And God's like, I'm not concerned about that. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is your focus right? Are you doing this because you are so in love with me that it feels automatic to do? I don't have to get wound up to preach. And I know y'all are going, no. You don't have to wind me up. All you got to do is give me a place, a segment, a moment. Because that's what God called me to do. I don't go, well, if you don't have anybody else. And you know what makes the difference? I had a guy ask me the other day, you know, when I was up in Kentucky, he said, you got a filing cabinet that you keep all your sermons in? And I was like, no. He said, you mean you don't have a file for all these different things in the years that you've been doing this? I was like, no. I said, I just kind of felt like it's always best to let the Holy Spirit lead you as you go into it. And I said, besides, I tried that for a while, and I said, every Sunday it seems like when I have something written down, it goes a completely different direction, just like it did today. So what's the point in writing it down? The Lord will give you what he wants you to say when you're supposed to say it, when you trust him. And I said, oh, by the way, the best thing I've learned as a preacher is to preach from the overflow of what God is teaching you here, not just go get up a sermon. Anybody can get up a sermon. It doesn't take somebody called of God to do that. It takes the person who sits back and says, Lord, we got 30 seconds before I go on, and you still hadn't driven home what you want for today. And then when you get up, the Lord says, now, go this direction. And you trust him and you do it. But willfully knowing and going against what God has is never good. And sometimes we do that. And Thyatira needed to understand that even one person, unchecked by the gospel, can hinder a whole church. You mean me? Oh, yeah. You are not here by accident. You are here today because God brought you here today. You are here today because God had a message to give for you today. Well, Roy, don't you think that's a little arrogant of you to say? No, because it's not about me, it's about him. He can use anybody. Listen, if he can make a donkey talk, he can certainly use Roy. But he got you here today for a reason. And he's got something that he wanted to tell you. You can leave here all you want saying, that's the worst sermon I ever heard in my life or whatever. You know what? No, it's not. Because it came from the master, not from the preacher. What you do with it is purely up to you. But it does matter. How many times have you been part of something that was a team, and the team wasn't playing as a team? Maybe one player wasn't doing their job, and it hindered the rest of the team. And then when that person finally realized that, they strived to make sure that they weren't the person who hindered the team. We are a team, folks. And you have a part to play. Some people are going, not me. I don't. Yes, you. You're not here by accident. God's gifted you. He's talented you. But he's also saying, I'm not going to tolerate sin in my church. If you are the one, then today is the day for repentance. Today is the day for forgiveness. Today is the day that the Lord will say, I've given you time. One, two, you're not an island to yourself. How would you like to answer in heaven to the fact that our church wasn't able to reach Oak Ridge, North Carolina, and points beyond simply because of you? You're sitting there going, well, preacher, that's kind of heavy. You know what? It is heavy. It is heavy. I don't want to be that guy that says, oops, sorry, Lord. I want to be the guy that's tired and battle-ridden when I cross the line. I want to work until I can't anymore. Because I know that eternity is far longer than what we've got here. Check yourself. Maybe that's what I should have titled this morning instead of a tolerant church. That sounds biblical. Maybe it should have been check yourself. Because that's what Thyatira needed to do. I'm going to ask Brad and our musicians if they would take their place as we go into this time of invitation. But here's what I want you to do. As we get prepared for this, the Holy Spirit's already spoken to your heart. If you were listening, he's already given you something in your life. He either gave you some encouragement, he either gave you a check yourself, or he's pointed out exactly what you need to do. Now, here's what I'm telling you. Right now's the time to deal with it. Not later on, not after lunch, not tomorrow, not next week, right now. I'm not asking you to do that here. You can do that here if you want. I mean, with me, I'm asking you to do it right where you are right now. Even if you're driving down the road watching this on YouTube or Facebook, pull the car over. Spend some time with God. Let him get a hold of your heart. I always love what an old preacher said one time. He said, sometimes the Lord just gets a hold of your heart and squeezes it till water comes out of your eyes. Or have we just lost complete sensitivity that God's gone, and nothing? You can begin to understand what he said to Israel when he says, and God hardened their hearts. He just wouldn't listen anymore. Remember my Willy Wonka thing? at first when he was telling the kids not to do something, and after a while it was like, no, don't, stop, because they weren't listening. Are you going to listen today? Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Christ. You went through the church motions. You filled out the card. You even talked to the preacher. That's not salvation. That it's not a checkbox thing. Well, I did that, now I'm good. Nope. Because the Bible also says not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Jesus in your life changes your life. It's not just something you do. It's not the checkbox. It's not just praying with a preacher. It is the beginning of a relationship with Jesus Christ, our holy God through Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Have you done that? Or do you have a facade? I love that word. It's kind of scary, though. Facade. You can have a hole in the wall, and you can put a couple of pieces of plastic siding over it, and it looks beautiful from the outside, doesn't it? You have put up a facade, but there's a big hole right on the other side. Contractors use caulk, don't they? That gap might be that wide if they got a big enough tube of caulk. See, some of us are doing that with our lives, God knows. Remember what it says in this passage at Thyatira? He said, I know your heart. And he has come eye to eye with every one of us today and told us something. What will you do with that something? Listen, if you need me, I am here. If you need to, I'm just going to say this. If you haven't trusted Christ and that's what's on your heart, don't let another second go by. Simply pray to the Lord, Father, forgive my sins and save my soul. That was you today. That's enough prayer to get it if you meant it sincerely. All the saints in heaven are rejoicing. And your name's being recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, but it's not over. You're just starting a relationship. If you need Jesus, listen, I'll pray with you. Please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to help you on that path. Man, I want to show you some cool things that aren't hard. You don't have to be a theologian. Yeah, that's the guys I meet with on Sundays. We're not theologians. We just read one scripture, one chapter a day and come together and brag on the Lord. We have a great time. We're not Bible scholars. We just loving on Jesus. You can come with us. I promise it'll be the best journey you ever had. If you need the altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here as we stand, as we sing our invitation. Thank you. Isn't God's grace grace that is greater than all our sins? I'm going to ask at this time if our ushers would come forward as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Remember what we said before, everything that we do as we come together, we need to do so with a heart of worship. That even our giving is an act of worship. I always love that passage that says, if you read that about the widow's mite, it says that the Lord was watching as they gave. He was watching as they came by to put in the receptacle. And He said, did you see that? Did you see what she gave? And He taught a lesson about how she had given more because of proportion. How God, even though she wasn't as blessed as everybody else, she gave all she had. Well, what a testimony. We're still talking about it to this day. Will we be found faithful as we worship through tithes and offerings? Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for the provision that You give each and every one of our hearts and our lives. The way You take care of us is beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And Lord, I just pray right now that You would just help us to be faithful to return to You that portion that You have so richly blessed us with. And then, Lord, may we look for Your hand in all that we do as we pray this in Christ's name. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I'm going to ask our serving ushers if they would make their way down to the front. As they make their way here, we do know that that sometimes there are folks who have some health issues. We do have some of the gluten-free wafers. If you need that, if you will let us know, and you know, once our deacons begin to serve, if you would just raise a hand, we will make sure that you have a gluten-free wafer and that you can participate with us. I've always said that at Central Baptist Church, we have what is called an open communion. What that means is anybody who has trusted Christ, you've been faithful, you've followed Him in baptism, whether you're a member of this church or not, you're a member of the family of God, and we invite you to participate in our communion time. So I like what the Bible tells us. It says, but let a man examine himself so that he doesn't eat of the bread and drink of the cup in an unworthy manner. So may we go to the Lord in prayer as we examine our hearts today. Father, as we come to You now and as we come around Your table, Lord, we're so grateful for the way that You have provided for us salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You will help us to live for You in a way that our life is reflective of the kingdom, in a way that wants to draw people to You. Now, Lord, we realize that we're in a world that doesn't care about You, and we know it's going to be tough. We pray that you will help us as you encourage the church at Thyatira to stand strong and to stand firm in our faith. Lord, help us to do so. As we come around the table, Lord, help us to remember the sacrifice upon Calvary's cross, but Lord, also the victory through the resurrection. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. The scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, as he gathered with his disciples, it says that he took bread and he gave thanks. It says that he broke it. He passed it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Brother Kelly, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, that this cup that reminds us of his blood, the blood representing the life that was given for us. Thank you, dear God. Praise you, and I come to you in his name.
Amen. Amen. Word tells us that in a like manner also when they supped, he took the cup and he told them, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. The ramifications of that are incredible. Before there had to be animal sacrifices and it had to be continued because it was only temporary. But what Jesus was telling his disciples and what he was telling us is that his sacrifice, his crucifixion, his resurrection would be the once for one and all perfect sacrifice. So as he took the cup, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. The word tells us that as oft as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do show the Lord's death until he comes. Just to give you a couple quick things, and then we'll get you on out of here. Let me go ahead and state this first. Next Sunday, we're going to go ahead and call a conference. And I'm going to ask this. Where's Kelly? There you go, front row Baptist today. I was looking too far back. Do we want to do this meeting immediately after the Sunday morning service next Sunday? Okay, we're calling a church conference, and the purpose for the church conference is so that you guys will have an opportunity to see and vote on. Kelly has requested that we do this as an oncoming chairman of the board to vote on the offer from the Department of Transportation. If everything, we have an offer on that right now that is pleasing to the team that has been working on that. We feel that that we're being done fairly. This offer should show up to us in writing, I believe, this week. We want the church to know what's going on. So as long as anything doesn't change with what we know right now, we want the church to be able to have an opportunity to vote on that. So we will do that next Sunday morning, immediately after our Sunday morning service. And like I say, a call conference can only deal with the business for which it was called for, and it's going to be the DOT project out front so that you all will know what it is. So the offer is on the table there. I'm going to keep you in suspense. I want to make you come to church next Sunday so that you will have that opportunity to be a part of that. Okay, so that'll be next Sunday morning. And just a couple quick things. Sunday after 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock choir practice today. Don't forget on September the 6th, which is coming quickly upon us, from 2:30 to 6:30. There's a blood drive over in the gym. Katie takes care of that. If you see Katie, if you'll donate an arm or whatever else. If you don't want to donate an arm, supplies, time, whatever she needs, let her know. She does a great job coordinating our blood drives. Also, September the 25th is the ladies' tea. That'll be from 3 to 5. Get that on your calendars. You won't want to miss that, ladies. September the 11th at 1 o'clock p.m. sharp will be our church picnic out at Triad Park. We will leave here. We will go there. Blessing will be said at 1 o'clock p.m. on the dot. Be sure to be with us. You don't want to miss that. Just to let you know as well that Awana is starting on September the 18th. That starts at 5:30 on September the 18th. So you're seeing things starting to ramp back up as we get into the fall. So we do need some volunteers for that. If you can volunteer, you can see my wife, Jana, and she could get you pointed in the right direction. And then also, guys, there's a men's breakfast fellowship. We kind of call it brunch a little bit. It's 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. So every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, the men meet over at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. And if you want to join them, I'm sure they'd be happy to have you come along and be a part of their group. So you don't want to miss that. Just a couple of quick birthdays to announce to you. This coming week on Thursday, Erin McFadden. A lot of y'all may know her as Erin McDonald. That's Jimmy and Debbie's daughter, but her married name is McFadden. She's married to Tad. Erin's birthday, Erin Haley's, is Thursday. And then this coming Saturday, see that gorgeous little blonde-headed girl right over there? Tate Sawyer is turning how old? 8 years old. Show me eight. Show him eight. See me, 8 years old. Isn't she adorable? Listen, you need to make sure that you get, when you get a chance, let Miss Tate know that you're going to be praying for her. I hope she has a very, very happy birthday. She's my sweetheart. She's my encourager. She draws me pictures that I get to put in my office that she colors for me that mean a lot to my heart. So be sure to tell Tate happy birthday. If you, I know she's not texting or anything yet, but maybe a hug on the way out would be outstanding. So also this coming week, as far as anniversaries, today Millie and Rick Bailiff celebrate an anniversary, and Saturday Dave and Dina will be celebrating another year of marriage together. We appreciate all that each and every one of these folks do, the hard work that Dave has done on this DOT project, as well as many other things that are going on. Is there anything else that I have completely forgotten? Because there's a lot of stuff to do. David is going to come up in just a second and dismiss us in a word of prayer and say anything else that I have forgotten. But next Sunday, this fine gentleman right up here, Rodney Mitchell, is going to be preaching for us. I love that guy right there. He has been a partner, a soldier, a soldier of the cross for many, many years, a great encourager of mine, a guy that I just love with all my heart, his wife, Anita. Rodney has retired. Pastors don't ever really retire. I think he's been doing a lot of supply and almost interim at some churches here lately and coming up. Brother Rodney is one of my favorite all-time guys. I love him. I'll fight for him. You won't want to miss hearing him next Sunday morning. So Dave, come on up if you would, and let us know anything else we need, and then see us off in a word of prayer.
I have in my hand sign-up sheets. There are four of them. They're for four Sunday school or Bible study classes that will be meeting next Sunday morning, restructuring our Bible study program Sunday morning. And so these are sign-up sheets for you to sign up where you want to go. They're not age-graded any longer, so you can go where you want to. There will be a class meeting back here in room six, the first classroom to the left as you go down this hall. That is a class that the core group has been Roger and JC's class and Bill's class that they've taught. All that fell apart when COVID hit. We're getting ready to get everything structured back. There is a ladies' class that will be meeting in room 213 on the second floor of this building. There are two other classes. Kelly Joyce will be teaching in room 204, and Richard Brackett will be teaching in room 208 on the second floor of that building over there. There's an elevator there. If you haven't been used to going to Sunday school, now's a good time to get starting back. We're new classes, restructuring. We'd love for you to come. When I pray, if you'll give me a minute to get these out there in the foyer, you can sign up today for them. That starts next Sunday morning. Let me lead. Okay. Benevolence offering. Thank you. You have to remind me every time we have communion, we do a benevolent offering. There's some ushers at the door, hopefully, with an offering plate. We take a voluntary offering for benevolence every time we have communion. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house today. God, this is a beautiful day, and we just thank you that you have made us physically able to come and be in your house today and worship you. Lord, I pray that everyone who leaves this building today will leave with our heart at peace in relationship to you. God bless us as we go from this place. Help us to be a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.